And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Campaign news, urgency, constant text messages asking for money. And what did they say this time? It's the political season, and sometimes it seems that living under the proverbial rock would be a benefit. At least it would be quiet. But of course, our civic duty demands attention. All politics is local, and the most local place is the city council. So, let's get started. This is Bill Wood, and my guest today is Paul Nagengast, candidate for the Half Moon Bay City Council, District 3. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
You're running for City Council, but you're no stranger to City Hall. What positions have you held in Half Moon Bay?
I came to the city about 20 years ago, and as my positions were from Public Works Director, City Engineer, and also Deputy City Manager.
Now, with that kind of experience, you know what crosses the desks at City Hall. You have a long list of priorities, but priorities cost money. So let's start with the first one, financial. What do you recommend to address the city's expenditures and reserves?
What I would like to do, have done when I was working in with city budgets, you look at your expenditures first. I notice the incumbents like to look at something that may have been already approved and seeking revenue, which to me is just wishful revenue hopeful. But something we can really look at right now is our expenditures, which can be anything from the numerous contracts that are let out for consultants and also anything that we can do to share maybe resources. Something that I used to do as a public works director in other cities is to share perhaps maintenance or some cost sharing with on the coast, we would have San Mateo County and Caltrans.
Well, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move on to the streets. You don't have to be a traffic engineer to know we have some real bottlenecks, awkward places, and even dangerous road situations. What areas do you find the most troubling?
I would really want to enhance our pedestrian bicycle safety. And number one to me is always Highway 1. That always comes across. 20 years ago, I removed raised medians, which we refer to as pork chops, on the west side of the intersection of Kelly Avenue and Highway 1. The east side still has those pork chops, and we are still not done trying to remove that. I've asked the city council to enforce Caltrans, which was an approval through the planning commission, to require to remove those raised medians. The city council agreed to Caltrans' appeal to not have to do that work at this time. Subsequently, I have actually appealed it to the Coastal Commission, and I believe they're going to hear substantial issue in November.
Yeah, I mean, we had a house-sized hole in Highway 92. How do we get them to address our problems? Are they really going to pay any attention to us?
You just have to be persistent. I've worked in so many different areas with different districts with Caltrans. But you just be persistent, and we can all work together to get things done.
The state has issued mandates for housing, and this has really come home here. We have the five-story building approved for 555 Kelly. That caused all kinds of controversy. Now the city council has proposed that land owned by Our Lady of the Pillar Church be designated an opportunity site for 50 new homes. That caused some rumbling in the pews, as you might expect. How do you navigate the state mandates with the desires of our community?
What we need to do is listen to our community. When a mandate does come to the city to have to prepare or to enforce, we need to hear back from the community. In this case, if there was an opportunity site that perhaps somebody was not interested in designating it as such, then we should have been looking at other locations or other possibilities. That's something that I think we should do early on in the process. I was afraid that what you're referring to at Our Lady of the Pillar came very late in the process and there was a urgency to submit something because it was already late. So we need to address things early on. We need to take control and we need to be the leader in something that may be mandated from the state. I'm not going to say it's not necessary to do what the state requires, but it's our town and we need to be able to advise the state how we're going to enforce their rule.
When we want rain, it's not there, and we let our lawns go brown. When the rain does come, it can be far more than we want. Engineering stormwater systems isn't glamorous, but it is necessary. How do we prepare for the weather that continues to change from what we have been used to all these years?
Great question. In fact, my background as a civil engineer, we were always taught to discharge water as quickly as possible, get it away from where we want it. Now we've decided, wait a minute, there's some benefit here. If we could capture the water, put it in a storage area, we could also recharge the groundwater as well as slow down the erosive velocities. In fact, that's one of the items that comes up a lot about on the coast is some of the discharge locations of our drain pipes are increasing the erosion on the cliffs. And I'm just going to use the whole idea of having a ponding area. We could retain the water, get some groundwater recharge, and then meter the water out so we can reduce the velocities that are eroding the cliffs.
When things like that come up, various ideas, there usually is a consultant hired. Of course, specific expertise is certainly needed from time to time, but all we hear about out in the community is the cost of the consultant. How do you convince people we're really getting our money's worth?
Well, we need to demonstrate what a consultant does is what was necessary. What I mean by that, we follow up with whatever plan they approved. I understand there are consultant projects just sitting on a shelf waiting for a grant that may or may never materialize. So we need to ensure that the consultant work is something that we absolutely necessary to have done now.
In every organization, certainly City Hall, there has to be the nuts and bolts of that operation. You've indicated that our city policies and procedures need some attention. What do you have in mind?
Just follow the rules. If we have a code or rule in place, then follow it. Don't just be discretionary just because you think you know something better. If you don't like the rule, remove the rule.
Or modify it. And, of course, tell everybody what you're going to do to it.
Yes, and that would be a process. Again, we want to be transparent as possible. So we want to have that process to the community, change the rule or remove it. But again, just have everybody else have something to say and listen. That's part of, I think, our problem. What our challenge is, many times we are not listening to what the community has to say, nor have we even asked them what their concerns are. And that's something that I've been hearing a lot as I walk the streets of my district. Current city council has not listened to what the community has to say. I want to bring the input in. I want to represent the community and bring their voices to the council, and that would go for any project and or any rule or code that needs to be changed.
All work and no play can make the city council member wonder why they accepted the job. Most people think, oh, boy, I don't know if I'd want to take that one. It's right up there with being president of a homeowners association. We're all surrounded by opportunities for recreation. It was one of the things I picked up on your website. What priorities do you see are there for all of us to enjoy?
I think if we just ask the community, what are we interested in and what would you like to see happen? Because the community is one that uses all these recreation areas or our recreation in town. I've heard everything from fire circle rings is about a park that's supposed to be put in at Magnolia and Seymour. The folks that live here on the coast, they know what they use to recreate. And if there's something that we can enhance their ability to enjoy that recreation, by all means, we need to listen and try to input what we can for their enjoyment.
Well, in our short time to talk, we've only covered thumbnails of your concerns and goals. For more information, of course, you have a website. What's that number?
Absolutely. That's paulforhmb.com. And you can go in there and look at what I've been releasing as part of my door-to-door campaign of every door in my district. I'm hearing what folks say, whether it's drainage on their street or it's a recreation opportunity. You can go in and contact me. My email address is there and also a phone number, which I respond very quickly.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today and continuing your desire to serve our community.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to the opportunity to represent District 3.
My guest today has been Paul Nagengast, candidate for the Half Moon Bay City Council, District 3. Vote. V-O-T-E. That means your vital opportunity to engage. A few minutes of your time will affect days and even years of the community in which you live. For the feature story of the week, this is Bill Wood.
Our thanks to Bill Wood for our feature story of the week. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson.